Like within those members, one of them, Kingsley, he started to reach out to me like, hey, what is it? What is blockchain? We started having a conversation and I asked him about his life. And he said, yeah, I'm in Nigeria in a village. And we had like video calls and he showed me his village and he lost his shop. He was selling phones. He was just like very sad and depressed and his family and friends around him. And yeah, we were just thinking about the solution. Like, what can we do? Like people really hungry around him and himself.
That is Bilal Brahim, and this is episode 47 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. Hello and welcome to episode 47 of the Blockchain Pro podcast. I'm Adriana Bellotti and today's guest is Bilal Brahim. Bilal is originally from France. He loves art, philosophy and thinking deeply about how to solve big problems. We are both part of the Algorand community and I'm excited to share his story with you today. So here we go.
Hi Bilal.
Hi Adriana, how are you doing?
I'm all right. How are you?
I'm all right. I'm well.
It looks like it's sunny where you are. Where are you calling from today?
I am a little bit south of Paris, the town where I teach and where I live. And I just came back from holiday. So yeah, I had a lot of sun this summer, but not as much as you in Australia, in Sydney. That sounds like even better.
We've had a pretty mild winter. We're just coming out of it now. And we had our first nearly 30 degrees day yesterday. And now it's back to being a little bit cooler. But, you know, I think summer is going to be good. Are you anywhere near Nevers?
Not that far from Nevers, actually.
Yeah. I have a really good friend. Yeah, Hiv. I have a really good friend who lives there. And in 2018, I stayed there for 2 weeks.
That's cool.
I really love that, you know, region. It's beautiful.
Yeah, it's beautiful. Yeah, I was riding yesterday around the region. And yeah, it's so beautiful. Like it's a very countryside. And you can see the small towns with real farmers doing their work. And it's very difficult because you always also see the misery very close by, even in France. Like farmers are suffering globally and France is no exception. It's so sad.
It is true. So let's go back in time a little bit before we start talking about farmers and tell me how you started your professional life and how did blockchain or crypto came to fit into it?
Yeah, I started in art schools. Like I studied arts at the beginning as a kid. I started at 15 years old until 21. I studied art in two different art schools in Paris. And then I worked as a stage designer in Greece in 2001 during like when the 9/11 happened. I just remember I was there and it was traumatizing in the village because I worked in a village where I used to do my stages for shows and everybody was completely breaking down and it was horrible. And we also had a fire this year. This was horrible. And then I decided I wanted to learn more about what people mean when they say something is beautiful. What is beauty? So I came back to study philosophy in Sorbonne until 2006. So yeah. I struggled at the beginning, but I did my studies and I improved and I learned so much during those years and I worked a lot because coming from art, it's very difficult to catch up with the analysis and the techniques of literature and philosophy. So then I got my master's degree from Sorbonne of philosophy. Then I went to Boston, came back to Paris, and I became a philosophy teacher in 2007 until 2016. Then I moved to Australia to teach there for 4 years. And I came back last year. And here I am teaching taught again this year. And I'm thinking it's most probable that I will move 100% blockchain. And I discovered blockchain in Australia.
All right. So how did that happen? Did you go to a meetup or are you just talking to someone? I mean, the light bulb moment is different for everyone, right?
Yeah. As a philosophy teacher, you have to teach about society and exchanges, like to exchange transactions in human history. And thinking about it, I used to do my lessons before, but I never focused on money. And I started to focus on money even before Australia, but I wanted to understand really what is money. And from a philosophical perspective, and many philosophers wrote a lot of analysis about it. So I just went deeper into what is money, and obviously I discovered Bitcoin. I knew about Bitcoin before, but I never really understood it. For me, it was just like a software in 2012, but I didn't really do something with it. And now I really went into blockchain with what is money, what is the function of money, why do we need money, like how does it work, and currencies and assets, what are the difference, and I started to look into different projects because the first step is to have a working blockchain to create something like that. Because obviously Bitcoin is not usable. Ethereum is not usable either. So I looked through I studied many white papers. Then I found all the projects and then I found Algorand and I thought, wow, this is the usage of randomness into blockchain. That is, it's super powerful. Like using randomness, which is a physical power force of nature into computer science, which is the next level. So I said, this is surely like the best solution for a real decentralized blockchain. So, and then I became an ambassador. I reached out to the community at the very beginning, just after the launch in 2019. And I applied as an ambassador, I think in July 2019. Then I started tweeting all alone. No one talked about Algorand at the time. I was just tweeting. There was just like Kwame and others posting. And we were all alone, and then the community grows, and yeah, here it is.
And now you have this wonderful idea of supporting farmers. How's that coming along? Let's talk a little bit about that and how that idea came about and what it is that you're planning to do, and also how, you know, we can all band together to help. Because I think farming is the future, is the past and the future. We all need to eat, right?
Yeah, exactly. I didn't realize at the beginning, I wasn't focused on farmers at all at the beginning. You know, I wanted to just create a FAME token, the token I launched last year. I wanted to create this token just to promote the community to the community members for all that they're doing and how the sharing of information, etc. So I launched this token, I created 10,000 of them, and I said I will give 10 to all members. I distributed very quickly, so 10 to each. 700 people asked for 10, they got 10, and then I found out that the community wasn't that big. At least the community I was in touch on Twitter wasn't like that. Was it like basically the real community? And then I said, okay, let's create a fund, a charity fund and an art fund. And within those members, one of them, Kingsley, he started to reach out to me like, hey, what is it? What is blockchain? We started having a conversation and I asked him about his life. And he said, yeah, I'm in Nigeria in a village. And we had like video calls and he showed me his village and he lost his shop. He was selling phones. He was just like very sad and depressed, and his family and friends around him. And yeah, we were just thinking about the solution, like what can we do? Like people really hungry around him and himself being hungry. Like I said, let's try to do something. And we talked about like maybe creating food ourselves. And then another member of FAME came. His name was Jesse. He's Australian, actually, a really nice guy. And he contacted me and he said, yeah, I think we should have something to bring people together to learn about farming so we can help people farm around the world. And we opened the channel together with Kingsley and we started to share ideas about how to help, because he knows a little bit of farming. Jesse knew a little bit of farming. And he started teaching Kingsley, who was not a farmer at all at the beginning. And then we get this conversation going on. And Kingsley, like, he's a really good learner. So he really like got into, he was a chemist student. So he had some background too. And he said, let's go. Let's do that. And we sent some funds to Kingsley to buy the land. And he had some savings. He bought the lands. And he bought like 100 meters on 60 meters, like 6,000 meters square. And he said, let's go. know. And we said he bought the seeds, and Jesse was teaching, and other members joining in the Discord, in the fan Discord, and just bringing literally the community to think about how to solve this problem. And now his farm is big. Like, he has a huge production already, which is so amazing. And he started from nothing. He just was a good listener.
Yeah, I remember seeing the photos of the, you know, his first crop of tomatoes, and he was like, his desk is full of tomatoes. It's so amazing.
And he was just giving tomatoes to people around him. That was like crazy. And people were just coming to his farm to get tomatoes. And he asked me one day, do you think I should sell some? I said, yeah. I told him, yeah, you know, tomatoes are a type of money. So you can give tomato to some young kids to help you with the farm. And that will be their first job, you know, and they will learn about it and they will spread the knowledge. And then he really went with it, and he met with the governor of his region, and they wanted to give him more land, but he has no, like, not enough time and workforce to expand so quickly. So I said, okay, I will help you, and I will come to Nigeria to try to help you on the ground with blockchain solution for selling, to find a delivery guy, to promote the farm, to register it. Now we are registering the farm. And at the same time, I was in touch with Phil Talbot. Phil is, maybe you know Phil, he's an incredible guy.
I do, yeah.
Phil is an incredible visionary. And he contacted me on LinkedIn, and he just said, I like what you do with Fame. Let's work together. And I said, okay, what do you do? And when he told me about Authentium, it blows my mind. Like, this is the greatest project I've seen in blockchain, literally. Because it's not about just fake farming, yielding, and DeFi, etc. It's real farming and how to bring real power to the most important people in the world, the people who are feeding us. And he has the solution already. Like, he's been working for so long. And I went back and I said, oh, I missed this meeting in Sydney in 2019. And he was there. And I couldn't go. I was in Canberra. I couldn't go. But he was there, and he was talking with Silvio Micali, etc. And you too, you were there, right?
Yeah, Phil is from Melbourne, so I'm assuming he would have been to the Melbourne meetings, and I was in the Sydney meetings. So.
Oh, yeah, that's right. There was two. There was one in Melbourne, one in Sydney. I wanted to go to the Sydney one, and I missed it because of work. And yeah, he met him in Melbourne. You're right, yeah. So when he told me about his vision and his project, I said, I might need to stop teaching philosophy and go on the ground with you to really have an impact in the world, because this is exactly how to change what people call the system, to remove all intermediaries for food producers to become what they were in the antiquity. You know, like the first poet in, like the first philosophers, the first poets, like Hesiod, was a farmer. And as a farmer, you have to know how the world works. Because you have to know the seasons, you have to know the year. They created the calendars because that's how you connect with the cosmos. Because the product that you produce becomes a good product because you know the connection with the seasons, with the world, with the ground, with the sky, with the stars. That's how everything started. And the fact that they are so mistreated today is horrible. It's stupid too, because we will pay the price after eating bad food for many centuries. We will pay the price at the end. The sacred status of farmers has disappeared. At the beginning, they were the most important people in the society. Now they became just like slaves, like suffering and committing suicide and being exploited for intermediaries, by cartels. In some, like in Nigeria, it's like terrorism. Like, they come to the farm and they take everything you produce and they go sell it in your place, and they give you like just enough to be able to produce next year. Not even enough, and they just attack them. So it's a scandal globally. In rich countries like France, in Australia, like Phil explained me, how it is going in Australia, it's not even better. In Nigeria, in the whole world.
Yeah, I think in Australia, we don't have the cartel problem to the extent that they steal from you, but we do have the big supermarkets that force low prices upon producers because they can, right?
That's a cartel too, to me. That's a cartel.
Yeah, it's not a violent cartel, but it's still a cartel.
They just don't need guns. That's it.
Exactly.
They can do it by law, which is even worse. Like calls how they can buy a product to farmer that they buy, like, let's say, they buy a certain product at the price that is not even enough for the farmer to produce it next year. And just because they can buy so much, they can put pressure in the negotiation to buy at the price they want. And they sell like 3-4 times the price they bought, and they just take the money and they automate all the steps to sell. Like, we don't even have cashiers anymore at Coles. It's so it's unfair. And the idea to bring maximum financial power to farmers for them to create the best food they can for us, for our children, for the future. Like, you have to adhere to that. And to me, it was like, okay, let's jump on the boat and let's work hard to make this a reality. And yeah, that's what I'm doing.
And I think you have a trip to Nigeria planned where you're going to go and meet the farmers in person. When is that going to happen?
The 20th of October, I will land there. I will stay 10 days, but that's just the first one.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's just the beginning. And I've been in talks with 5-6 farmers, some big ones, some small ones, and just learning from them first, because I don't know what is the situation, how bad is the situation in Nigeria. So the first calls is just about me trying to understand and to adapt and to understand what are the products, how do they do it. So now they're just teaching me, and I will go there also just to learn. I'm not there to tell them what to do. And then this is a 10-year plan. So going forward, I will be able to bring investments, help, support, blockchain tools, and many other things that we are trying to do, and to bring investors from the other side to commit with them and to really help them on the ground.
And Nigeria, I assume, would be one of the many stops in this 10-year plan, because there are so many other countries that also need help with disintermediation, right?
Exactly. And I have a call actually just after you with Colombia. So we're working in Colombia, like South America, and then we have plans for India. We have obviously a lot of plans for Australia and New Zealand, and in Europe too. But now our focus now is obviously Nigeria for many reasons. The Kingsley Connection, which is also a beautiful story. I want to make it very strong in the future. I want to make Kingsley a star, a farmer that everybody knows. And also, Nigeria is an incredible country in terms of demographics. A young demographics, very smart people, very dynamic, and a huge land that you can grow everything you want. Like, it's incredible. The farmers there tell me, like, you can grow everything here, and you just need to ask us how much of something you want, and you will bring it to you. And they have like this incredible experience in farming. So yeah, Nigeria to me is the future of Africa in terms of food. But we will go to other countries, like French-speaking countries, like Senegal and Morocco, and South America and India going forward, yeah.
And when you say we, you mean Authentium?
Oh, yeah. We are fully integrated together, Fame and Authentium. Yeah, and PayScript. PayScript, Fame, and Authentium, they all work together. We have the same vision, the same goal, and we are in talks every week, every day sometimes. Because PayScript brings the payment solution in all aspects, like from on-ramp, off-ramp, very easy to use platform. You just need an email and BIM, you have all cryptos available for you. You can receive payments. You can send payments just with emails. Authentium is organizing the whole supply chain at a local, very short distance, like a village, with someone on his bike just distributing tomatoes to the big companies, the big farmers that can sell like multiple tons of products around the world if needed. And Fame is focused just on the ethical side of it, like on the farmers, the small farmers, and to bring as much support as possible, technical support, like also knowledge, because what we want to do with FAME is to tokenize the governance of the farm, not the farm itself, but the idea of how what you do with the money, a kind of crowdfunding solution, but to help the farmer to benefit from the knowledge of a global community.
Exactly. So not just financial benefit, but also support and connections.
Connections.
Perhaps even agreements where they can all bend together to buy seeds or something like that.
Exactly. What we want to do with Kingsley is exactly that. Like his farm is 6,000 meters square. We will be able soon to buy 1 meter square per algo. Like one algo will give you 1 meter square of voting power for the governance. Every time they, like with this money, Kingsley can buy a fence to protect his tomato. He can buy a wheel, like trying to have some water immediately, because now he has to bring water from another place, which is very exhausting. So the people will be able to discuss, the members, the governors of the farm will be able to discuss the best solution, to give advice. And Kingsley is free to share his decision power or not for investments. And if like there are only FAME members governing the farm, they can have debates and discuss with Kingsley what to do, what is the next step. Should we produce this product? Should we do that? Should we invest here? Or that? And this debate is very important because that brings community knowledge to one farm, which can be very powerful to have really good ideas. And they will also participate in other ways. Like let's say a designer can help create like a poster for the farm or a solution or... and let the farm be known and to make it grow as much as possible. And we can reproduce this system globally, Colombia, India, France, everywhere.
Anywhere where there's space to grow things and people willing to learn how to do it.
Exactly. Maybe they know, if they know, like if they are experts, like amazing farmers that are experts, that's even better because the governors will learn and maybe other farmers will become governors of other farms and they can share knowledge and investments like to really help each other.
So how can we get involved?
Soon we will release the first tokenization of the FAME farm. So now Kingsley is actually registering his farm in Lagos, in the capital of Nigeria. And then we will tokenize PayScript and Authentium would help us tokenize the farm. So soon Kingsley will release 6,000 units of the tokenization of his farm. So if you want to, if you are interested in farming, if you know about farming and you want to help raise money for this first FAME farm, you will be able to buy the token straight away from Kingsley. And with the money, you will decide with the governors what to do with the money. And he will sign an agreement that he has to follow the majority of the vote.
Farm DAO. Coming up.
Exactly. That's the end goal is building a DAO that is global. And the DAO of FAME, we want to start from the very bottom, from the very low level, to make sure everything's right. But to start very like at the micro level, I want to go there. I want to see the farm. I want to check everything. And then slowly connect it to the second farm and then to the city. And then there will be a governor for the city, and then the governor for Nigeria. And then we will have probably big ministers like for farming.
Sounds and, like an ambitious but very needed plan.
Yeah, even if it's too ambitious, we can just stay at the local level and I'm happy with it. Like it's not...
There's nothing wrong with ambition. It's just more steps that you have to take in order to fulfill the different layers, right? And also...
Exactly.
Ideas sometimes don't pan out how we imagine them. You're probably gonna iterate and pivot many times during the course of running this thing. All right, we're getting to the end. I have the three questions, and they are, what book are you currently reading? What is your favorite crypto resource? And what's your favorite project? And it can be your project, that's fine. But, you know, if there's something else that you're looking at the moment, it can also be that.
Oh, what book I am reading? Oh, that's fun. I was just reading On the Beach, a piece from Victor Hugo. It's Le Roi s'amuse, The King is Having Fun. Yeah, it's so interesting. It's very philosophical about how power gets into the people's head. And also what I found very interesting is that this book was forbidden. So it was censored at the time. And Victor Hugo has all this introduction about the censorship, like how things can be censored. How can you censor an artist? And he's defending himself, but not really, because he wants to attack. And he feels like he needs to protect the freedom of the writer. And poets should never be censored. Anyways, and he, yeah, I cannot put it as Victor Hugo did, you know, he's such an amazing author. And no, to me, Victor Hugo is like up there in literature. He's like the best to me. Like, it's hard to find a greater mind than Victor Hugo. Like a book that I really like of him is The Man Who Smiles, L'Homme qui Rit. It's an incredible story. And that's something that gives you the energy to fight for people who are suffering.
I'm going to look for these two books to read myself, because I must admit I haven't read much of the French greats.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Victor Hugo. And yeah, the second question was about blockchain.
What's your favorite crypto resource?
Oh, crypto resource to me is Twitter, because the community, the Algorand community, is so powerful. Like, it's so smart. We have the smartest guys in the crypto world, I think. So I just opened my Twitter and I learned from Darren, from Monty, from Ibu, from... We have a great Algorand community, and I just need to turn on my Twitter and I have all the best articles, because they are kind of curators, you know, like it's just immediate knowledge on Twitter. So I just use Twitter for Algorand basically, and I don't care about anything else on Twitter.
That's fair enough. I think that's how most people use Twitter, for one thing, and they don't care about the other stuff, yeah. Which is fair enough. And lastly, what is your favorite project?
My favorite project? Oh, it's Authentium, but wait. I would say my favorite project would be Fame, but...
That's fine. You can toot your own horn. There's no problem with that.
Yeah. What we are doing with Fame, which I really like, it's a hard work. Like, I just talked to the dev just before. It's so hard, but we are trying to do a kind of decentralized social app where artists can create NFTs, all kind of NFTs, movie, music, anything, straight with one click. So they can share, they can earn royalties, and they can sell the licensing. So it's a hard work, and we are like just at the beginning. I just checked the first version right now, but it's not out, but it will soon be out. That would be, I think, huge for artists, because they can just release their products. And we're working with Jamie and Kwame, and like Jamie is amazing, and that's her initial ideas, like how to license and to sell the royalties, etc. And also, like, we want the artists in the platform to be able to rate other artists in very specific criteria, to be able to promote the good artists within the platform. So that's what we're working on. It's hard, it's slow, and it's challenging, but we're trying to take it like slowly, step by step. And that's my favorite project, basically, is to help farmers and artists. That's, to me, they are the most important people in the world. Like, if you have artists and farmers, all the others are just like playing around. Like, if you can help artists, I consider all kind of arts, like painting, literature, like musicians, dancers, movie makers. That's why the Fame challenges go through 12 months. And each month we have a challenge in arts and a challenge in charity. Each month we present one type of art and to reward the artist in 12 ways. 12 type of arts, and that's what I'm focused on, charity and art.
Sounds fantastic. You are a very busy guy, and I am super looking forward to see the things that you were going to bring to this world. Thank you so much for sharing your time with me. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you so much.
And that was the philosophical Bilal Brahim. How cool is his farm DAO idea? In fact, If you're listening to this around the release date or end of October 2021, Bilal is currently in Nigeria meeting Kingsley, getting to know his community, and there's an NFT being auctioned on Twitter to help fund a water pump for the farm. I will definitely put the link to that in the description. If you like what Bilal is doing, get in touch with him. The links are in the description for you. And as you know, I'm also here for you. Send me a message, ping me on Twitter. I love your feedback. It is an honor to share these stories with you. I hope you're inspired to go and do something great with crypto. Let's advance humankind together, shall we? All right, I'll see you on the next vlog. Bye.